Tuesday, April 10th, 2018, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City. We are right here in Denver, Colorado. You know, we get together every single weekday. We try to talk sports with a dose of common sense, might mix in some sarcasm here or there. We are very, very happy to have you here with us today. Happy Tuesday to you. Now, Monday is now behind us. It's in our rearview mirror. Let's not look back. Let's continue to plow ahead in this week. Hey, if you would like to contact the show, let us know what you are doing on this Tuesday. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or go over to Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. You know, we do post a few thoughts here or there over on Facebook or Twitter. We will post a link to the podcast every single day if you'd like to follow us over there. And of course, you can always reach out and contact us there as well. Today on the show, we've got a number of things to get to. Of course, we will be taking a look at a few of the top news stories coming out today. Plus, you know, the Major League Baseball season is now underway. Now, I'm not going to dive into every single team and preview every single division. Look, let's be real honest. If you've been listening to the Daily Dose for very long, you know, I barely have the patience to watch a game until the postseason gets here. I'm sure not going to be digging into the bullpen of some random AL Central team. Like, I don't care that much. But I do want to take a look at a few teams in Major League Baseball, kind of see who are the contenders, who are the pretenders as we go into this season. Plus, you might not realize it, but today, April 10th, is National Sibling Day. And you know, we just might have to discuss that a little bit later in the show. Got a lot to get to today here on the Dose, so we need to jump in right now. So first up, it seems that Green Bay Packers wide receiver Trevor Davis, he learned that not all people think his jokes are funny. Apparently, Davis was arrested on Sunday and was charged with making criminal threats after joking about a bomb at the Los Angeles International Airport. That is according to LAX police. A public information officer announced on Monday that Davis had been taken into custody and was released on his own recognizance pending a May 3rd court appearance. Here was his statement. Yesterday, Trevor Davis checked in at the Hawaiian Airlines ticket counter here at LAX. He was asked the usual questions about whether he was carrying any aerosol cans, knives, weapons, or explosives, the public information officer said. Then Davis turned to his female companion and asked if she remembered to pack the explosives. Oh, he's a riot, isn't he? That guy just kills. You just can't stop being funny. Like, you're like the funniest guy ever. He was then taken into custody and booked. Hey, I mean, who among us does not love a good airplane bomb joke, right?
You said bomb.
I said it's not like I have a bomb.
You said bomb on an airplane.
What's wrong with saying bomb on an airplane?
You can't say bomb on an airplane.
Bomb, bomb, bomb. Bomb, bomb, bomb. Bomb, 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 bomb.
Try to keep a straight face the next time someone tells one of those at the ticket counter. Now, you just know how this all went down, don't you? I know that we hear this, and we think this guy's a moron, and he is, but just take a look at how this probably went down. Young NFL player, trying to make a name for himself, probably pretty full of himself. He's a young guy. He's at the airport terminal. He's like acting like he's famous, even though no one probably knows who he is. They're probably looking at him and going, looks like he might be an athlete. I don't know. Don't recognize him, but he looks like he could be an athlete. Standing there with his girl at the terminal desk and just thought that when she asked if he had any aerosol cans, knives, weapons, or explosives, he just thought he would slay the whole room with some of his greatest stand-up material. And you know that it like flashed in his mind. Like, man, when I say this, the entire terminal is going to crack up. Like, no one actually has the guts to say this except for me. Everyone is going to die laughing when I drop this little nugget. I mean, my girl is going to be super impressed. There are actually probably going to be other girls just walking through the terminal. They're going to be throwing themselves at me too. Yeah, that's not quite how that went, is it? Here is the bottom line. Anytime you're going to, you know, release some of that stand-up material, young Trevor Davis, know your audience, bro. Because all the people that are getting ready to get on a plane, they don't want to hear that word.
Bomb, 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 bomb.
Yes, that word. They don't want to hear that word. You don't want to be talking about explosives and saying things like that. I know. You thought it was some great material. You probably stayed up nights thinking that up, working that out, making sure your timing was just so. Yeah, didn't go over nearly as big as you thought it would, did it? Nice try, though. Valiant effort there. Some other news coming out in the NFL, and that is that former NFL Defensive Player of the Year, Khalil Mack, was a no-show at the first day of the Oakland Raiders' voluntary off-season workout programs on Monday, as Mack missed the opportunity to see his brand new head coach, John Gruden, in an official capacity for the very first time. Now, the workouts, according to Gruden, are going to be heavy on strength and conditioning. And Mack is awaiting a contract extension. Mack is actually entering the final year of his rookie deal. You know, he's the number 5 overall pick from back in 2014, and he is expecting to get a sizable new contract. Now, I don't want to blow this all out of proportion. Like I just said, these are voluntary workouts. Like when you read the story and you see that Khalil Mack did not show up at voluntary workouts, you sit there and go, okay, well, so what's the story? They're voluntary. Who cares if he doesn't show up? And I'm right there with you. Who cares? If he doesn't want to show up, they're voluntary. He's waiting on a new deal. Who cares? I mean, look at it from his perspective. He's not getting ready to go out there and do all this strength and conditioning. Are you kidding me? I want a new deal before I go out there and smash my head into the wall 50 times, running all these sets and lifting all these weights and doing all the... Anytime you heard strength and conditioning thrown into practice, oh, I'm not going to actually be practicing the football stuff. I'm going to be running and lifting and doing that kind of stuff. Yeah, I'm not showing up to that. I don't care if I have the deal. I'm not showing up to that. So who cares if he doesn't show up? Big deal. Well, you know who's going to care? And I mean, I'm just going to go out on a limb here, but I would bet you that new head coach John Gruden, oh, I bet he cares. I bet he cares a lot. Gruden does not care that Mack wants a new contract. He does not care that these workouts are voluntary. You know, this will probably, I would think, get smoothed over eventually. If Mack eventually shows up and he does produce, then Gruden's going to say, okay, I'll let that stuff go. He's waiting for a new deal. He didn't want to come into voluntary workouts. I get it. But I'm just throwing this out there. It is never, ever, ever a good idea to start off in your new boss's doghouse. Like, think about your job. You get a new boss, and on his very first day, maybe it's a voluntary day. Maybe you didn't have to show up, but it's a new boss. So, yeah, I don't want to go, but geez, I have a new boss. I better show up. Even if I just show up for a while and then leave, explain to him, have a conversation with him. Hey, I want to be here, but got a contract deal going on. Just going to kind of try to talk it out with him and explain my side of it. Yeah, but not showing up at all. Again, you never want to start out in your new boss's doghouse because sometimes it can be really, really difficult to get back out of that doghouse. Don't come in out of shape. Don't come in and not produce. Oh, because if you do, John Gruden is never going to forget it. You know, it's funny because John Gruden hasn't coached in the NFL for a while. Go back and look at the way he coached when he was coaching. He's notoriously hard on his players. He's vicious with his players. And I promise you, he will remember that Khalil Mack missed these workouts, and he'll probably remind him of it a few times. I think it'll get smoothed out, maybe. Guess we're going to see. This is going to be a fun year to watch the Oakland Raiders. I don't know how they're going to do, but it's going to be fun to watch. Finally, former Major League Baseball player slugger Mark McGwire insists that he didn't need to use performance-enhancing drugs to hit those 70 home runs that he hit. He said in an interview published on Monday that he would have accomplished that feat without any help. Absolutely, Mark McGwire said, I just know myself. I just know. I was born a home run hitter. I mean, unfortunately, I did take PEDs, and I regret that. I've talked about that. I regretted it. I didn't need to. That's the thing. I didn't need to. Now, as a slugger for the St. Louis Cardinals, of course, McGwire hit 70 home runs, set the single season record. It took 12 years for him to finally admit in a televised interview with Bob Costas that he was even using PEDs when he set that mark. Now McGwire, he's actually a bench coach for the San Diego Padres, and he says he could have hit those home runs without him. Hey, here's the thing. Who are we to doubt what Mark McGwire says, right? I mean, he's been nothing but upfront and honest with us, hasn't he? I mean, sure. He never hit any more than 52 home runs in a single season. And the big numbers that he did get seem to coincide with him starting to look like a comic book superhero in real life. And just because he only averaged 32 home runs a season over his 16-year career, if you take away that 170-year season, yeah, just because of that, that doesn't mean he couldn't have done it without PEDs. He probably could have hit those home runs without him. He probably could have hit 100 home runs without him. Mark, if you really wanted to, you could have probably hit 1,000 home runs in that season. No one is saying that you're lying.
Just remember, it's not a lie if you believe it.
Yeah. You know what I'm going to go ahead and say? I'm going to go ahead and say I don't believe it. I don't believe it one single bit. He had that one huge great year. He was juiced out of his mind. You know, denial is an important thing sometimes in the world of sports. Hey, coming back, speaking of baseball, we wanted to talk a little bit of baseball as this season is getting started. Now, like I said, I'm probably not going to be breaking down the bullpen of the Marlins or anything like that, but we are going to be taking a look at some of the pretenders and some of the contenders when we get back. So, the Major League Baseball season is, of course, now underway. Sure, I know, Major League Baseball tried to hide the start of the season from us. They didn't really advertise it. They didn't really have like a big opening game or do any of that kind of thing. One day, they just showed up, started playing games on the old, I don't know, History Channel or whatever it was, and just kind of thought we'd all come running to tune in. Now, we haven't actually done that, and baseball ratings are never particularly good, but that's just how they do business in Major League Baseball. I didn't want to go through and look at every single division, look at the league, look at every single team, throw out all the matchups and that kind of thing when we did our baseball preview. This is kind of an abbreviated baseball preview. I have enough problems staying awake trying to watch one of these games, let alone actually research and do all the kind of stuff that I would need to do to tell you about the second half of the lineup for the Chicago White Sox. I'm not doing all that. But what we will do today in this, like I said, abbreviated baseball preview, is we will take a look at a few of the top teams and say, are they contenders or are they pretenders? We've got a few to take a look at right now. First up, we've got a contender. And that contender is, without question, the Houston Astros. Yes, some other teams, they may have done some other things in the offseason. But hey, the Astros are still the big dog in all of baseball, and they're going to be until someone comes in and proves otherwise. I mean, Carlos Correa, Jose Altuve, Josh Reddick, George Springer, they've got plenty of pop in this lineup, and they still have Dallas Keuchel, they still have Justin Verlander. So if you're going to beat Houston this year, and more importantly, if you're going to actually beat them in the postseason, good luck. Plus, the Houston Astros have something that we always kind of forget about, and that is they have experience. They have done it in the biggest moments. Remember what they did last year, getting to the series, winning the series. They have come up clutch when they had to. Having that confidence in your back pocket, that can carry a team a long, long way. And once again, if Houston stays healthy, they're going to be really, really tough. They're going to be right there. We definitely have to make them a contender this year. I'm going to give you a pretender, though. Because when they went out and they signed Andrew McCutchen from Pittsburgh and they got Evan Longoria from Tampa, you thought maybe the San Francisco Giants are about to turn this whole thing around. You know, we're just so used to the Giants making that run every few years that we just kind of keep expecting it. And after watching them play the Dodgers pretty close this past weekend, it's really, really easy to get sucked in, to sit there and start thinking, hey, this might be one of those Giants kind of years. When you start sleeping on them, it seems like that's when all of a sudden they stand up, make a deep run, even win a title. They've done it before. But here's the problem for the Giants and why I think they're a pretender. First, this division is really, really tough. And over the haul, the schedule is going to be really, really difficult. It's not going to be very forgiving. And the thing about the Giants is they don't have much in the way of depth. Now, as long as they can stay healthy, I really believe San Francisco can probably play with anyone. But when you have a baseball season like we have that lasts like 450 games or whatever it is, it tends to wear on the body. You start to lose people and they don't have much depth. If they lose too many people, yeah, they're going to be much, much worse for the wear. I know there are people out there saying, hey, the Giants went out and addressed all their issues. And they did address some issues, but they don't have much depth. And this is a very, very tough schedule that they're going to be facing. They're going to be better. I just don't expect them to make one of those crazy San Francisco Giants runs that we have seen in the past. Don't expect that. That might be asking a little bit too much. Got to give a contender to the Los Angeles Dodgers, though. Does any team look better on paper than the Dodgers? I mean, I guess you can throw Houston in there, and you can throw certain aspects of certain other teams in there, but geez, the Dodgers are just absolutely loaded. And yes, their offense is struggling early so far this year. But don't forget, they are without Justin Turner with that wrist injury. And remember, he carried them offensively at times last year. Now, here's the thing. I don't think that the loss of Turner or this slow start are bad for this team at all. In fact, I think exactly the opposite. I think that's a really, really good thing for this Dodgers team, because we saw in the postseason last year, especially in the World Series last year, when Justin Turner didn't produce anything, no one produced anything for the Dodgers. They need a few other guys to start stepping up. Corey Seager, Cody Bellinger, Chris Taylor, Logan Forsythe. We need some production from somewhere else. It can't just be Justin Turner. And then if he's good, well, yeah, then the rest of us are good. No, if they can start getting those guys to produce some things and giving those pitchers some support, about the time they start doing that, Turner's going to come back. And if that's the case, and he comes back and he starts playing again, yeah, the Dodgers just look like the class of the National League. They're definitely a contender. They should be playing in another World Series. I got to give a pretender to my hometown team, the Colorado Rockies. And look, I'm not putting the Rockies on here because anyone expects them to be anything but a pretender. I just want to confirm that they are, in fact, definitely a pretender. Now, if you don't live here, locally, every year here in Colorado, we are told this is finally the year for the Colorado Rockies. Hey, now they have a bullpen. This hitting is really going to start coming around. Is it? Are you sure? Because I haven't seen it. And then the owners actually went out and re-signed National League batting champion Charlie Blackmon to a contract extension last week. Now, if you hear that and you're not from Colorado, again, you say, well, of course they signed him to an extension. I mean, who else do they have? Yeah, but see, everyone here was like amazed that the Rockies actually gave a player any amount of money. Everyone was like, yes, they actually re-signed a player. Ownership has really changed. Yeah, here's the thing. I can't give Rockies ownership credit for doing something they're supposed to do.
What you want, cookie?
And as a result, I don't have much faith in this team. Are they better? Yes, I don't think they're horrible. I guess they'll maybe contend for a wild card spot, I guess. And if they actually somehow get the wild card spot, they'll put up a wild card banner, wild card flag in that stadium. Everyone will be, yes, next year's our year. But it'll just be the same thing. I've been watching this team now for like 30 years. It's the same thing every year. You can't convince me otherwise. Go tell your story somewhere else. I've already heard this story. Okay, got to give a contender to, of course, the New York Yankees. Yes, they're very, very slow getting out of the gate, but that's what happens when you beef up that hitting lineup like the Yankees did this offseason. When you go to these games, you're like, I want to see these huge bombastic home runs. I want to see loads of scoring. And it's been a little bit slow coming, but the longer this season goes, the better the Yankees are going to get. I mean, the Yankees led baseball in home runs last year. They were second in runs scored last year. And then they went out and added Giancarlo Stanton, who hit 59 home runs last year. He was the reigning NL MVP. Now, I might worry about their pitching when they get to the postseason, but hey, enjoy the ride while you can, because until they get to the postseason, New York Yankees are going to outscore a lot of teams this year. That's just who they are. They're going to eventually score a lot of runs. So if you like that, enjoy it. They're definitely a contender, because what if their pitching does step up? And what if those bats did get red hot when we got into the postseason? They're definitely a contender. I'm going to give another pretender. Now, this pretender, I'll be honest, has no actual logic behind it. But I'm just going to go ahead and pick the Washington Nationals to be a pretender, because it's what they do every single season. On paper, this team looks very, very good. Just like last year. Just like the year before. Just like the year before that. They've still got solid pitching. Max Scherzer, Steven Strasburg. Again, just like last year. And actually, they're hitting the ball a little bit better this year so far, even though they are struggling to get wins just yet. But Washington always looks good on paper, and they never win anything. So most likely, Washington is going to waltz all the way to the postseason, just like last year. They're going to win like 90 plus games, just like last year. And then they're going to get knocked out of the divisional series, just like last year. Yeah, I'll make the Nationals a pretender. Until I'm proven otherwise, I'll just keep saying that. Our final contender is going to go to the team that might actually be the hottest in baseball right now, but I don't think it's a fluke. I think they are very, very good. I know that the New York Yankees are built to score, but I really like the way the Boston Red Sox are built, because they have as good a pitching rotation as there is in baseball, and we know that's what it's going to come down to in playoff baseball. If they can continue to get some kind of production at the plate, they can get some guys back healthy. David Price is not even playing yet. The Red Sox are going to be a handful this year. First year manager Alex Cora, he has a loaded roster. The question for the Red Sox is going to be, can he push the right buttons? If he can, hey, the Red Sox are going to be right there. Should be an interesting season of Major League Baseball. No, I'm not going to be glued to it, but I'll kind of check in here and there, especially in that American League. We have got some really, really interesting races that are going to be shaping up over there. Coming back, like we said earlier, today, April 10th, is National Siblings Day. Make sure that you wish any of your siblings well today, or however you communicate with them, punch them in the arm or whatever it is that you do in your specific relationship. But we have had some really talented siblings in the world of sports. We're going to discuss a few of those when we get back. Just a quick reminder that if you've got any shopping to do, you might as well head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles featuring your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. April's Loot Crate theme is called Artifacts, and it features items from Marvel Comics, Lord of the Rings, The Legend of Zelda, and The Dark Crystal. But the best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, make sure you type Daily Dose in the coupon box. We're going to get you 10% off of your order. It's always good to save a little bit of money when you get that chance. Now, today, April 10th, is National Sibling Day. Do you have a sibling? Did you grow up with siblings? Sibling relationships are a little bit weird. Can be your best friend. It can be your worst enemy. You have both of those relationships with your siblings, usually. I know that I did growing up. You have maybe the brother or sister that pushes you to be better. Maybe the brother or sister that knocks you down when you're trying to get up. Maybe the brother or sister that sometimes, possibly, maybe, helps you up. Here, every once in a while. They're not going to do it all the time. But we have actually seen some really, really talented siblings in the world of sports. Want to talk about a few of those today. First siblings I want to talk about, the Gasol brothers. The Gasol brothers have been major players in the NBA for quite a while. Now in his 17th season, older brother Powell, he's averaged 17 points and 9 rebounds a game. He has made 6 All-Star games. He's earned 4 All-NBA honors, and he won 2 championships. And, you know, his younger brother, Mark, yeah, he's not too bad either. Mark is now in his 10th NBA season. He's made 3 All-Star teams. He's earned 2 All-NBA honors, and he won the Defensive Player of the Year award back in 2013. The Gasols, definitely a very, very talented group of siblings there. Moving on to another group, a group that is in the NFL. And, you know, this group, they are quite the football family. Of course, the Matthews family. Their father, Clay Matthews Sr., he played in the NFL back in the 50s. But then he had sons Bruce and Clay Jr. Now, Bruce played for the Houston Oilers / Tennessee Titans for 19 seasons. And I mean, how versatile was this guy? He played center, he played guard, and he played tackle. He was named to the Pro Bowl 14 times. 9 times, he was a first-team All-Pro. But then his younger brother, Clay Jr., he was a linebacker who also played 19 seasons in the league. He played for both the Cleveland Browns and the Atlanta Falcons. Clay Jr. was a 4-time Pro Bowler and an All-Pro. Of course, Clay Jr. is also the father of Clay Matthews III, who currently plays for the Packers. But that Matthews family Thanksgiving game, yeah, that must be like serious. They must really, really get after it. The Matthews siblings, it's a pretty good group there. I got another group of siblings here that is one of the best ever. You have a Major League Baseball player. You have an NBA star who is in the Hall of Fame and a women's basketball player who might be the best women's basketball player ever. Think about the Millers. Reggie Miller scored over 25,000 points in the NBA, won a gold medal in the Olympics, went to the Basketball Hall of Fame. His sister Cheryl was a 3-time Naismith College Basketball Player of the Year. She also won a gold medal. And again, might be the greatest women's basketball player ever. I'll put her in the conversation for sure. But don't forget that you actually have a third sibling, Daryl, who played a little bit with the Angels for like 5 years back in the 80s. That's 3 siblings, all really, really talented players. The Millers definitely have to make our siblings list today. Of course, we have to have the first family of football because you had Archie Manning, who then had the 2 brothers that went on to play in the NFL, Peyton and Eli. Now, between Peyton and Eli Manning, you have 4 Super Bowl titles, 5 Super Bowl appearances, and 3 Super Bowl MVP awards. Yeah, I don't know if you've noticed this, but playing quarterback at like a super high level, it's really, really tough. We can't find barely 1 good quarterback in the NFL these days, it seems like. To have 2 siblings who played quarterback at such a high level, went to Super Bowls and won them and won MVPs, I mean, that's absolutely amazing. The Mannings definitely come in on our list of greatest siblings ever. Finally, our last group of siblings. I mean, what can you say about this group? They are arguably one of the greatest American sibling stories ever. And it's a little bit bizarre when you think about it. 2 daughters of Richard Williams and his ex-wife. Not only would they both play professional tennis, they would play it for a long time. And think about this, between Venus and Serena Williams, you have a collective 33 Grand Slam singles titles, 14 Grand Slam doubles titles, 4 Grand Slam mixed doubles titles. And you can make a pretty strong case that Serena Williams is the greatest female tennis player of all time. Hey, there are a number of great siblings that have done so well in sports history, but here are 5 that are about as impressive as we have ever seen. Hey, tomorrow is Wednesday, and of course, we will be taking a look at some of the top sports stories that are coming out like we do every day. Plus, with the Stanley Cup playoffs coming quickly, I started thinking a little bit about the Stanley Cup. We might just have to discuss a little bit of that tomorrow on the show. Plus, as we do every single Wednesday, we will have our Daily Dose Hump Day Power Rankings, and you never know what we might be ranking this week. I have to say thank you all so much for listening to the Daily Dose. Thank you so much for sharing the show, for retweeting the show, that send messages, that send tweets, that send texts, whatever it might be. I have to say thank you for all of it. It is all very, very appreciated. If you are not subscribed to the show, make sure you don't miss a single episode by just clicking that little follow or subscribe button wherever it is that you listen. I have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a great Tuesday.